There's nothing that calms your nerves better than the presence of the Lord, is there? And if you weren't feeling the presence of the Lord this morning, I think you need a check up from the neck up, because it was powerful in here this morning. Harvey was right, you guys sounded amazing when you were singing as well. Blows you away when you're up there. This morning I'm sharing what we call a preachermony. It's my testimony mixed in with a bit of a message. Two reasons for this. Is one, because it gives you guys a chance to know a bit more about me, where I've come from, what I've been through, and what's led me to church. I believe everyone in the church would get up and give the testimony at some point, because we don't know each other on that type of level, you know. For all I know, Ula could have been an axe murderer 10 years ago. Might have been, but we don't know. And another thing that really encouraged me to do this was hearing Shirley's testimony on the podcast. What an awesome testimony, what an amazing woman of God. So, and what Matthew said as well was awesome, so that's what's led me to go on to this. The second reason is, as a Christian, one of the most powerful tools you have is your testimony. The Bible says in Revelation that they, the saints, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. People can't deny your testimony. They can't say you're lying, because what God's done, God's done. They can't deny it. And everyone should be proud of the testimony, regardless of what it is. I'd like to open up with a scripture, which is Isaiah 45, verse 3, which reads, I will give you treasures out of darkness. There's more to it than that, but that's the bit I want to focus on. And without going into this scripture too deeply, God here was talking about this Cyrus, the Persian king, who God was using to go in and invade the Babylonians. And God said, if you do what I want you to do as my servant, I will give you all the treasures that the Babylonians had hidden deep within a cave in dark places. But it's actually symbolic that Jesus actually pulls treasures out of darkness as well, spiritual darkness. And I thank God this morning that he pulled me out of that spiritual darkness. And I praise God that all yous have been pulled out of that spiritual darkness, and yous are all treasures out of darkness as well. So I'm going to take you on a little journey of what led me to become a Christian. And I'll start at the beginning. Many of you won't believe this, but I was an ugly child. I believe when God was handing out looks, my mum thought he said books and asked for a horror. No, I'm just joking. I'm cracking a joke to put myself at ease. Right. Who knows what the prevenial grace of God is? Anyone know what the prevenial grace of God is? Yeah, prevenial. Yeah. So, I know Trig knows. It's the grace of God on your life when maybe you don't know him, or you don't know that it's God's grace at the time. So you might get to a certain point in your life and you're able to look back and say, wow, God's hand was on that situation. That's God's prevenial grace. Yeah, his ultimate grace is our salvation. But prevenial grace is times you don't see it until you pass that and you look back and say, wow, God really helped me then. That's the prevenial grace of God. And all through my life, God's hand has been on it, even when I didn't know him. And I'm going to share some stories and show you that and try and encourage you that God is at work. God still performs miracles. God still loves each and every person in the world, no matter how wretched they might be. There's lots I could share about my testimony, about drugs and crime and prison. I'll give you a quick recap. I started selling drugs from a very young age, 17. Was in and out of jail for the next 10 years, was addicted to heroin, crack cocaine, used needles, robbed drug dealers, got robbed, stole off people. I was just what the police would call it, undesirable. If you walked past me in the street, you would probably cross over and hold on to your handbag tighter. I was really a nice person, but I don't want to go any further into that, because I'm not here to glorify the devil. I want to glorify God this morning, because he's the one who's pulled me out of it. First story I want to share. This is all about God calling me from a young age. When I was 17, I had a friend called Jason Lord. his dad had spent 10 years in jail for armed robbery. He was from Manchester. And then he was a born-again Christian, and he used to tell us he had an encounter with an angel in a cell. And from that encounter, he'd become a born-again Christian, and we used to laugh about it and stuff like that. And then one morning, he took us to a church. It was a Pentecostal church. And I think me and Jason had been awake for about 6 days on amphetamine. So we just went, probably because we were still off our heads a bit. And I remember sitting down, and then he stood up and started singing the first song. And I remember this black guy, I'll never forget him behind me, because he reminded me of the guy out of the Halifax advert. Remember him? The bald head and the glasses. And then he was shouting hallelujah and praise God. And I didn't know it at the time, but the love of God and the Holy Spirit just flipping dropped in that place. And this so-called hard man running around with knives and taking drugs just burst out crying. And I'm not on about, you know, a few tears. I was absolutely sobbing my heart out, like this overwhelming feeling just shot all through my body. And the thing is, I didn't even care if people see me sobbing. And then I knew, I didn't know what I was experiencing, but I knew I was dirty. I knew I was unclean. I knew the life I was living was wrong. And it's only later on when I become a Christian, I realised that was the Holy Spirit. That was God saying, come on, man, I've got more for you. That's the first time God was calling me. But I carried on my usual path, totally disregarded that, carried on being an idiot. Right, fast forward about a year. This was God's hand on my life again. I'd been up all night taking ecstasy. I hadn't slept again. I went into town about 10:30 in the morning. Me and a friend bought loads of cans of beers and a litre of vodka. Drank them in about a space of an hour and a half. This was by 12:30 in the morning. Basically, I was passed out under a tree in a park. Thanks to God, a friend of mine's mum found me. She couldn't wake me up. She managed to get a taxi driver to help me get me in a taxi. He drove me to my mum's house, got me out of the taxi. At this point, I still weren't awake. He slumped me on the steps. My mum was trying everything to wake me up. I wouldn't wake up. She phoned an ambulance. So I got to hospital about 1:00 in the afternoon, completely comatose till 5:30 the next morning, hooked up to all sorts of things. The doctors were in and out. They were saying to me, mum, we don't know if he's going to make it. And I remember it was about 5:30 in the morning. And usually, if you're in hospital and you've been knocked out, you kind of just come round and you're a bit dizzy and that. But this was different. I was lay there like that, and I just suddenly went, life came back into my body. And I'm convinced God gave me that life back. I'm convinced I should have died that day. But God gave me the breath of life back. Like, there's two examples where God has intervened. I don't know why, because I was a wretch, but God's grace is sufficient. Amen? Now let's get to the good stuff. The day I met Jesus, and this is the good stuff. Come on, Frank, calm down, mate. Before I go there, I just want to tell you, when I lived in Wigan, before I come to Wales, I lived on my own in a flat. My best friend, who I shared the flat with for 3 years, hung himself outside my front door. I found out by the police kicking my bed and shining a torch in my eye, asking me where he was. And I said, he's asleep on the sofa, and they were like, no, he's hanging outside. But not long after that, I remember lying in bed, and I probably had no gas in the flat, I probably had no lecky because I'd spent all my money on drugs. And I remember saying, I've always believed in God, I just didn't know who he was, I didn't know about him. And I remember saying, do you know what, God? I'm in this situation because I've put myself here. Like, I've chose to go down this path. That's fine. I'm here because I've put myself here. But why is there starving children in that side of the world, and there's fat people over here, and there's too much greed over here? If you're real, sort that out. I'm not bothered about me. Just go and sort, help all them kids out. And then that following day, I went down to a Catholic church. I wanted help. I needed help badly. And they sat me at the back of the church, made me feel like an outcast. I'm not surprised because I looked ripped off. You've heard the expression, oh, you look like death warmed up. Death warmed up, it was a picture of health to how I looked. I was 8 stone. I was just so bad. And anyway, the church had knelt me. That following night, I cried out to God. And God's faithful on his promises, man. In Jeremiah 3:33 or 33:3, it says, if you call on me, I will answer you. And this is God in his dream as well. I called out to him, I said, does anyone know what volume are? Diazepam? Sleeping tablets? You've got a street named Valleys. That's what we know them as. I cried out to God, I said, God, please help me. Just send me to the middle of nowhere in Scotland with a big bag of Valleys, and I promise you I'll get clean, I'll sort my life out. And God was like, all right, then I'll help you. But instead of sending me to the middle of nowhere in Scotland with a bag of Valleys, he sent me to the middle of nowhere in the Valleys to a place called Victory Outreach, Abertillery. This is true. So, I turned up in Abertillery. I actually went there straight from jail to this Christian rehab. And I walked in with my jail head on, bit of a jail swagger, like it was a house full of ex-criminals and drug addicts. And I'm there trying to, you know, tell them, big myself up. Oh, I remember getting chased by the police, I had this much drugs in the car and blah, blah, blah. But no one seemed interested. They were all different, they weren't interested in that. And they were talking to each other with respect and they were being nice to each other. And I quickly realised I didn't have to walk around with a mask on anymore. And what, I didn't know it, but became apparent, what these people had was Jesus, and that's the love they were showing each other. And I wanted some of that, I wanted to change. And I got put in a room with Trigg, who sat here today. And I was interested. I remember I was constantly asking him questions. Trigg, if God's real, why did this happen? Why didn't that happen? And in the end, he was like, look, mate, I've been here 5 months myself. I can't answer these questions. So I picked up the Bible, I started reading it, and I'll never forget the encounter. This is where I met God, and it was as real as I am, as you are. I was reading Luke 2, verse 49. So they'd been off to Jerusalem for a festival, and his mum and dad are on the way home, and they've left Jesus, the boy of 12 years of age, up in the temple. And she's panicked, his mum, and she goes back looking for him. And she goes in and says, oh, Jesus, where have you been? And he turns and looks and says, do you not know I'm here about my father's business? But literally, as I read that, it was like I was stood in that temple and the man Jesus looked at me and said, I'm here about my father's business, and flipping heck. The revelation, it smashed me. I knew there and then Jesus was the Son of God. Like, I could not deny Jesus was the Son of God. That's how I encountered Jesus. No one will ever convince me God ain't real. No one will ever tell me the encounter I had with God isn't real. But that's how I met Jesus. I want to share a scripture here. Psalm 103, verse 2-3. Yes, I will bless the Lord and not forget the glorious things he has done for me. He forgives all my sins and heals me. Even here, and don't be shy, put your hands up, who believe God heals? Still today? All right, I'll share a quick story. So there's a bloodborne virus called hepatitis C. Have you heard of it? Are you aware of it? It's very common amongst drug users. Now, I used drugs intravenously, for a nicer word, for 10 years, and I managed to avoid not catching this virus. Literally 3 months before I stopped using, I contracted this virus. I had a blood test done in Swansea Jail before going to Victory Outreach. It was positive for hepatitis C. Anyway, down the line, the outpouring's going on in Cumbrian, and Pastor Rich calls out, I want to pray for people who were suffering with blood problems. And I felt this urge to go down and get prayed for. And when he prayed for me, I felt something happen in my body. Following week, I went up to the doctors in Abertillery. I said to the nurse, I said, look, I want you to take me bloods. I believe God's healed me of hepatitis C. She's like, all right, then I'll try. She said, how do you know you've got it? I said, they did a test in Swansea Jail about 6 months ago, whatever. Come back positive. Now, obviously, where I've been using drugs for so long, I haven't got many veins left in my arm. They've all collapsed. So this nurse is proper struggling. She's getting frustrated now. Why do you want it done? It's already come back positive. Finally, she got the blood. And I said, if this comes back negative then, are you going to believe that God's real? And she's like, I haven't got time for this. Get out. She didn't want to know. I went back and the possible test was negative. So don't tell me God doesn't heal. I'm just gutted it weren't the same nurse who didn't see me to give me them results. But it was negative. When I come to Victory Outreach, where I've been injecting in my legs for 3 years, I couldn't walk 100 yards without my leg going double the size, in absolute pain. Within 10 months, absolutely fine, playing football, even 2 games on a Saturday. So I know for a fact God does heal. I've seen him heal many other boys throughout Victory Outreach as well. So I want to say this, man. If you don't see this power of God within your life or within your home, and I would suggest maybe going volunteering at a place like Victory Outreach, because when I've been there for a year and I became staff, you see boys come in with the same mentality, jail mentality, and you see God just start smashing walls within these people's lives, and you just see miracle upon miracle, only things that God can do. So if you're a bit dry or you don't believe it's real, well, I challenge you to go out and volunteer at one of these places and see for yourself, man, because it is. Another scripture I want to share. These are promises that God's made to me and kept, and they're there for you as well. Joel 2, verse 25-32. So I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. All throughout my addiction, you know, I'd be running to the shops as soon as they open to steal something to go and sell that item for drugs. I would walk past families or parents taking the kids to school. And that's all I ever wanted within my life, man. And it seemed like the harder I tried to get clean. Because I went to a number of rehabs before Christine won. And yeah, you're away from drugs, but nothing changes inside. But see, God changes your heart and he changes your mind. And that's the difference. You can take a drug addict and remove him from drugs for 3 years. But if he's the same person inside, he's going to go back to them drugs eventually. But if you put God in his heart and change his heart and his mind, he doesn't want none of it. God gives you new desires. Amen. Anyway, when I was due for leaving VO, and this is... Have you ever heard the saying, if you're going to pray and ask God for something, be specific? So I was due for leaving Victory Outreach. Right, babes? And I prayed to God, and I was like, look, God, you know, all I want is a family of my own, a wife. I like Wales. I want a Welsh woman, Lord. I want her to have dark hair. Some other things as well I requested. And literally, it happened, and it's a really funny story. Do you remember Victory Outreach? Did a carol service here, like, 3 years ago? Well, Liz was here then. I was here as well. I didn't see Liz, but Liz seen me. And she had to go early so we didn't get a chance to speak. But Martin Hall, who used to come into Victory Outreach all the time, he turned up one day and he's like, look, I've got this girl. She's got a few issues. And while he was telling me about Liz, I'm hearing God clear as day say, this is for you. This is for you. So the first thing I said to Martin Hall was, how old is she, Martin? He went 21. I was like, oof. Like, and then Martin goes back to Liz and said, do you want to go and see some of the Victory Outreach guys? Well, some of the Victory Outreach people. Liz assuming it's going to be all the girls from the women's home. But he took her up to all the churches. Like, I'm the only one out of Victory Outreach and 3 other boys who were going to Blanavon Church at the time, because I was being mentored by Pastor Nick. Out of all the places God could have took Liz, which should have been, in theory, to the girls' home, he took her to Blanavon. And we got talking. I was like, are you on Facebook? And as soon as I got home, I was spending hours trying to find him and stuff like that. And the rest is history, man. But see, God knew my desires, and I immersed myself for 3 years in Victory Outreach. I immersed myself in the Lord. I prayed, I studied, and he granted me my wishes, man, and he granted me my heart's desires. And now I've got a lovely family. I'm a productive member of society, you know. I go to work. I don't do much while I'm in work, but I go to work. But all thanks to the grace of God. And this is what I want to say. My introduction to Christianity was in a Pentecostal church. And I'll be honest, I struggle in this church sometimes. Like, it's not my cup of tea. Like, but I'm here, it's Liz's church. I've said about 8 things today. If I was in a Pentecostal church, I'd have had hallelujahs, amens and clapping and all that. And that's what I like. And I'm just, sometimes I want to shake half of you, like, and just... And this, I do, and this is what I want to say as well. If Frank Vandal me shouts out hallelujah or Gene dances up and down the church hall, don't roll your eyes, encourage that man, because you don't know what God's done in their life, you don't know what God saved them from. So instead of like growling at people, you need to think, wow, why are they like that? What's God done for them? And go and find out. Like, I'm now at college doing a counselling course as well. So, I just want to share something quickly about the Bible, because God's word is good, amen. And I got this idea from Shirley. She said, someone I relate to in the Bible is Mary. Someone I relate to in the Bible is a homeless, naked, crazy guy. Well, it's true. I'll just read this bit of scripture. And it's from Luke 8, verse 26 to 36. Right, I'll just start from here. Then they sailed to the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on the land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes. He had lived not in a house but amongst the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out from the man. For a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven out by the demon into the desert. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter them. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country, the Gerasenes, asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. See, this demon-possessed man was often bound with shackles and completely out of his mind. As I was. I weren't bound by visible shackles, but I was bound by shackles of addiction, grief, guilt, greed. And some of you in here today might never touch drugs, but I guarantee you've been bound by some sort of shackles yourself. Whatever that is, that's your thing. Being a prisoner of your own mind, but praise God this morning that Jesus does break chains. And what I've shared with you this morning doesn't convince you that Jesus breaks chains, then I don't know what will. This guy was isolated, living amongst the dead, as was I. No one wanted to know me. The people I were hanging around with were dead. I was dead inside. The stench of death followed me wherever I went. I was isolated because I isolated myself. I couldn't be tamed. I didn't want to hear what people were trying to tell me. I was completely dead inside and dead spiritually. I've lost a lot of friends to drugs. I should have been dead myself. But praise God, he takes treasures out of darkness. Amen. And this is something I want to point out today. When we get to the end of the passage, the guy who sat at the feet of Jesus, fully clothed and in his might, mind, and completely free, as I am today. Not completely in the right mind, because I'm not perfect and I do make mistakes. I do occasionally swear, heaven forbid, and other things, but I'm not where I used to be. But what I want to point out is Jesus does heal our infirmities, he does break the chains of bondage and sin, and he does make us whole if we just sit at his feet and allow him to. At the end of the passage, it's worth pointing out that all the townspeople where this took place knew how mad this man was, knew how scary he was, knew how crazy he was. They seen him in that state every day. They didn't want to go near him. Yet now they've seen him changed for the better, to the glory of God, and all they care about is what the pigs that he'd lost. See, people don't understand the change in the power of God, what it can change in people. So I'll still meet people now, and they'll be like, no, it's just the same old Matt, and then they'll talk about my past, but that's gone. I'm a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. And that's why we sang that song this morning, "Who the Son Sets Free is Free Indeed." Be blessed this morning, church, and thank you for listening.
Harvey hasn't chosen our song. Not that now matters. If somebody's got one that you'd like us to sing, we can do that. But I really feel, I mean, my only sense of responsibility is that I'm the deacon duty today, but I just really feel, I spoke to Harvey, that we need to give everybody an opportunity to respond to what God has said to us through Martin this morning. I would like to do this two ways. I would like somebody to choose a hymn that we're going to, a song that we're going to finish with in a minute. And I would like anybody who would like to respond publicly to come up to the front. And Martin and I and anyone else who feels led to will pray with you and share with you. If you don't feel that that's for you, but you still want to respond in your heart, you can do that while we're singing the hymn, and you can just have a quiet word with Martin afterwards and just say, will you pray for me during the week, please? Okay? So I think each one of us has got some way in which we would like to respond this morning to God. Okay? So has anybody got a song you'd like us to finish with? Sorry? There is a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer. Okie dokes.
I told a similar story 35, 40 years ago. No one believed me. And I believe we're on the threshold of a revival. And I think God, in a great feast, he sent us a revival. He invited all these people, and they didn't come. And he said, go out into the byways and the highways. Get over to sleeping under the hedge. Get over to the homeless and bring them to the feast. And I think we're on the verge of that time. And I felt the presence of God here this morning long before he spoke. I really did. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Amen.
Because it works.
Okay, so we're going to sing There is a Redeemer. If you really feel you'd like to make a public response, please just walk up to the front and stand in one of the front seats along here. And we'll pray with you. When we finish that song, we'll say the grace together. And those of you who feel that you're ready to go and have a cup of coffee, please just quietly go and do that. If you want to sort of quietly come and have a chat with anybody at the front here, please feel free to do that. And afterwards, then I'll go and sort the keys out with you when all this is sorted, the important stuff first. Okay, so let's sing There is a Redeemer.
Precious.